The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on Twitch. You know the number for that. Missed the first hour? We didn't do a whole lot on the Texans because there wasn't too much to do. Because, well, we did a little bit on their silly decision to maybe keep Cornell and Jesus Easterby. And we hit the Rockets a little bit. So we'll get to the rest of the NFL now. Before we do that, you see, by the way, dust in the wind for Will Muschamp.
Yeah. They did lay off a bunch of teachers, but they'll pay Willie 20 mil to get out of town. And have you heard who their top target is?
No.
Hugh Freeze.
Oh, my God. Well,
I mean, if South Carolina can find a way to interview Hugh Freeze, the Texans can find a way to interview coaching and GM candidates.
You know, Hugh Freeze will win for you. So there's that. And I don't know. Was what he did really that bad in the grand scheme of things? I mean, other than getting caught. So, all right. Let's go to the other NFL games, and we'll start it off with a glorious finish. If you're a Lions fan, Matt Prater with the long field goal at the buzzer. Lions win at 30-27. I think that field goal was. I mean, he nailed that thing.
Yeah, and the Lions deserve to win that game. But Alex Smith, pretty good.
Yeah, well,
pretty good.
He put the ball up 55 times.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah, and wound up being a fun game at the finish, and Lions get the win. So Washington now 2-7. Are they, you still have them on the Jaguars-Texans level?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're pretty awful.
Lions 4-5. First home win of the season, too, which was interesting. Where do you put them?
They're a notch above. When they're healthy, I'll go 20th.
Okay. Jaguars are going to bleep around and win a game if they're not careful. Because they hung in there with the Packers. Packers get it done 24-20. We know what the Jaguars are. What do you think of the Packers? I mean, 7-2, but that was kind of a stinker.
Yeah. I mean, teams are going to have those games. And that one, that was certainly they weren't sharp.
Yeah. And good teams do find a way to win those games.
I still think Packers are one of the five or six best teams in the league.
Okay.
And the Jaguars are still a coin flip on being the worst team in the league.
Although
it's certainly them or the Jets.
Yeah, and I think future wise, like I said, I think the Jaguars, if they get a quarterback, I like some of the young talent they have there.
Yeah.
And I think there's some potential for them. Okay. Of course, when you go back and look at the top 10 picks, the Jaguars, they sure missed on a bunch. Giants beat the Eagles 27-17, tightening up the NFC East race. As the Eagles are 3-5-1 and your Giants are 3-7, and somehow I missed betting on that one this weekend, which is another reason why my weekend went so poor.
Giants aren't bad. I mean, they're not good, certainly, but I think the Giants are. I would argue the Giants are the best team in the NFC East.
Kind of hard to argue with you.
I would also furthermore, I would argue that Daniel Jones is the best quarterback in the NFC East right now.
That's not insane.
Okay, sorry, Carson.
No, I'd like to argue with you on that, but I can't.
Danny can run too, baby. He can, that boy can move.
And when he's not getting tackled by the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that happens.
But so right now, who wins the NFC East between these two teams?
I'm going to go with the Giants. I think they're going to win a couple more games.
I think you're right. A couple more games will get it done. Buccaneers 46-23 over the Panthers. Panthers hung around for a while in this one, and then Buccaneers pulled away late. Theodore Brady, 3 TDs, 341 yards. Looked a little better this week.
Yeah, and that game was actually pretty close until late, and then they started to pull away. Jones run, and the Bradshaw injury kind of opened some things up. But I think the Panthers are a little bit overrated. I think they've won some games early on that they probably weren't expected to win. I think from a talent standpoint, they're still lagging, but the coaching that they've got is keeping them in some games they wouldn't otherwise be in.
Yeah, 3-7 now, so. And you're right, they probably are a 1 or 2 win team talent-wise, especially with McCaffrey out of the lineup as much as it's been. So where do you put the Buccaneers now, 7-3?
They're probably better than I thought they were. I still probably have them just outside my top five.
All right, the Raiders put it on the Broncos, 37-12, and... Yeah, Broncos now 3-6, Raiders 6-3. I think the Raiders are certainly playoff contenders. I think the Broncos
are trash. Drew Lock is so awful.
They can't think Drew Lock is the answer there. Because I mean, they're even without Von Miller, they're not that bad at the rest of the roster, but their offense is just dreadful. All right, be curious where you put these teams. Chargers now 2-7. At least they didn't lose in dramatic fashion this week.
It was not dramatic, yeah. Although, man, you know what? You were right about this. I said the Dolphins have got to be the luckiest team. They continue to be, like, their luck is incredible. God is reaching down and touching that team. I will say that their defense is legit.
Yeah.
But they are getting some breaks on offense that you just wouldn't believe. And special teams, and the Chargers are incredibly unlucky. So you would again, you would think eventually it would sort of even itself out, but yesterday was not that day. Dolphins looking better and better now, tied for first.
Yeah, and
or no, half a game behind because the Bills have a game in hand.
Yeah, but and they still have one more game against each other, which could decide it. But yeah, that's a team that I've liked all year, really since middle of last year. You could just see them getting better. And I always liked that with a coaching staff. And it really sucks that Miami got the only Belichick guy who actually might work out. And guy's doing a hell of a job there. Cardinals-Bills, we talked about a little bit in the first hour. Where do you, I know what you think of the Bills because we talked about that. I still think they're, despite losing yesterday, that's a dangerous team with a dangerous quarterback. Where do you put the Cardinals? It's 6-3.
I still think they are the third best team in their division, although and I still, I don't know, Seattle's got a down arrow, it seems. I don't know, the NFC West is so hard for me to figure out. I don't know what any of these teams really are, and obviously we'll see Seattle and Arizona next week, and that'll kind of shine some light. What I saw yesterday of the Cardinals is they don't have much of a pass rush, which makes me think that Seattle's going to give them problems. Because the Rams got after Russ Wilson.
Yeah.
And that really changed some things. The Cardinals don't have that. So I'm not crazy about the Cardinals, but, I think any of those teams, any given day, any of those three teams could show up and do something.
And you mentioned the Rams and Seahawks are both 6-3 now, and it does appear to be a little bit of a down arrow for the Seahawks, but I still think Russell Wilson is going to carry them to some more wins. I'll still put them ahead of the Rams and Cardinals in the hierarchy, despite the result yesterday. But they're all pretty close. You're right about that. Saints over the 49ers, 27-13. We mentioned Drew Brees getting hurt. And I guess you're rolling with Jameis Winston and the Mormon now.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work out all that well. But,
I guess what we'll find out here is, we know Sean Payton's a hell of an offensive coach. I think we'll find out just how good he is. Because if he can turn Winston into something that doesn't turn the ball over but makes plays, then he gets the full genius tag, in my opinion.
The Saints are 7-2. And they what, since last season they were, or since 2019, they were 5-0 without Breeze. They've kept on winning without him, but and they've got a good defense. They've got a pretty good running game. I just don't know. And maybe the 49ers just really, and this, they certainly game planned to slow the Saints down. They were like,
right.
they said, we're going to control the ball. We're going to stay on the field. Their opening drive was like 8 minutes long. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to trust a Jameis Winston led team. And I'll say this while we're talking about Drew Brees, that's a tough break, broken ribs, collapsed lung. That's a garbage penalty flag. That's a football tackle.
Yeah, I agree. Steelers 9-0 with a 36-10 win over the Jose Burros.
Boy, Joe Burrow, that was an eye opener for Joe Burrow, who's had some success against some bad defenses. No success against the Steelers. They just can't pass protect. And now, while they're on defense, it looks like they can stop the run a little bit, they can't defend against the pass at all. That team is kind of tail spinning.
I'll give you one positive for the Bengals. They sure shut down the running game.
That's what I said. Their run defense looks better.
But they
can't stop the pass. And who's Ben Roethlisberger been passing on this year? Like, nobody. And all of a sudden, he's Joe Montana.
Yeah, he had a big game, and that was just a mismatch. And you know what? The Steelers have had some games where you look at them and go, I don't know about this. But then they have a game like this where you're like, yeah, they're...
I'm still not sold on the Steelers offensively. I still think the Steelers offense is smoke and mirrors. Their run game is awful. Their pass game is sporadic. Defensively, they're good enough to keep up with a lot of teams, though.
All right, and finally, your New England Patriots upset the Ravens in that slog last night, 23-17.
It's hard to even really take anything from that game. The scheming was nice, and the announcer last night, Collinsworth, was like, you know, if the Patriots can play this kind of ball every week, they can win some games. It's like, you mean if the Patriots run into teams that have tons of injuries, like half their roster's injured, you play in a monsoon and the referees are in your pocket, yeah, the Patriots can win some games. I think Cam is washed. I think they're going to have a hard time really getting anything out of him. I don't think they're catching either of those, the Bills or the Dolphins. And the Ravens, the offense isn't working right now. And they've got to figure that out. And Lamar Jackson has to adjust to the adjustments that the leagues have made. I still think the defense is elite, but the injuries are starting to pile up, and it's getting harder and harder for them to look elite, certainly.
And they've got to find some way to run the football other than Lamar Jackson, because
they've got three running backs.
I know, and none of them none of them really did anything last night. I mean, Gus Edwards, I guess, was the best of them.
I mean, let's face, no offense really did much of anything last night.
No,
it was last night. That's why I said that data point. It's I don't want to say you throw it out completely, but it's hard to take a lot from it. Because
I agree.
You're not going to play games like that very often. It wasn't like a sloppy field or a rainy game. I mean, it was, you couldn't even see the game happening late in the fourth quarter. It was raining so hard. The cameras couldn't, it looked like you were watching like TV in 1991 before HD exists. And
right.
You know, like now, if you go to a non-HD channel on your TV and you're like, oh my God.
I feel like I'm half blind.
We watched that? Yeah. How'd that work?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what it's, you know what? Go in the Sports Map radio studio. Watch one of the TVs on the wall in there. And it's like, what the hell? I mean, it looks like pixels on Atari or something. That's what the game looked like last night. It was a mess.
Any thoughts on tonight's game?
I like the Bears getting more than three.
Yeah, it's 3.5 right now in my bookie.
I think that everyone's enamored. I don't know if I'm going to bet it or not. I know everyone's enamored with the Vikings right now because Dalvin Cook's just been so dominant. The Bears are probably, I don't know if they'll shut down Dalvin Cook. The Bears will slow down Dalvin Cook and then make Kirk Cousins beat him. You know, the R.J. Bell theory of Kirk Cousins in a game that's not at you know, noon on a Sunday. Like, he's great at noon on Sunday and is bad the rest of his life. I don't know how much I buy into that. I don't know if, you know, playing in primetime really makes that much of a difference to a player. But I hate betting on the Bears, which is probably why I probably won't bet this game at all tonight, because I don't like having money on a team that I can't trust to score any points. But I do think that they slow down Dalvin Cook. I don't think they should be this big of an underdog at home.
Yeah, I agree. And if they can slow Cook down and make Cousins beat him, I like their chances. In fact, I like a money line if that's the case. But I don't know. I don't trust them. I mean, they've burned me enough this year. And they're one of those teams I've just been out of sync with. When I don't think they're going to cover, they cover. When I think they're going to win outright as a 3.5-point dog, they get beat by 14. I just want to get to the fourth quarter with them having a chance, because I feel like that's their best hope.
Kind of like what we just did. I had a little game that I wanted to play with you today, where I throw a team out there and you give me a range of where they are in the league. Like, I want to know where you think the Dolphins are league wide. Like, where they fit. Are they a top 10 team? Are they a top 5? Like, there's 4 or 5 teams I want to throw at you next segment and see what you really think of them.
Okay, because. Yeah, the Dolphins are an interesting one to me. All right, I got to tell you, if you are going to play the game tonight, you know where to go, my bookie. And right now, just looking at it, +3.5. And if you like the Steelers or Bears money line, +145. The total's 44.5. All of that for tonight's game is at mybookie.ag. And the great thing about mybookie is when you win, they actually pay you. A lot of websites, that's not the case. But mybookie prides themselves on great customer service, easy deposits and withdrawals, and all kinds of options. And you can get in there and do one of AJ's teasers with one team and the under. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Just use promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And if you're already signed up, man, keep an eye out, because they've got bonuses all the time. They've got all kinds of games going on, contests, things like that to keep you occupied. And, of course, live betting, always fun. So if you get in there and bet and you don't like the way it's going, you can always jump in and live bet. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio, mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. Mybookie. Come
on. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Come see us at Madison's in Beaumont for a Miller Coors Roadshow this Thursday. The Josh Ennis Show and The Blitz will be out there from 2 to 7. Come by and grab an ice-cold beer. Miller Coors specials all day long. So back out at Beaumont at Madison's. And I told everybody I was going to stay over the next time we were there, but that's when I thought it was going to be a Friday night, so I can't stay over. So you guys are going to bitch at me, but I was going to – if it's a Friday, it's not a big deal, because I don't have to come back until Saturday morning, but I actually have to be back in town Friday morning. So anyway, all right, let's play the game. Let's go. All right. Let's rock.
Give me like a range, let's say like a – somewhere within like 3 or 4 spots of where you would put these teams.
Okay. In their respective conference?
Nope. Or overall. Overall. Like 1 through 32, the Miami Dolphins.
See, I think they're one of the more interesting ones, because I don't put them ahead of the Bills. I kind of think they're in that same range as the Raiders.
Okay.
So I'm going to say probably would put them right around number 11.
Okay. That's kind of where I put them.
I kind of have them there with the Titans and those type of teams.
One of the power ratings I saw today had them at number 7.
Ooh, it feels high to me.
Ahead of Arizona, the Rams, the Ravens, the Seahawks. And then they had the Ravens or the Raiders at 12.
Yeah, I would have...
I wouldn't
have them ahead of the Ravens. I don't think they're better than the Ravens. I don't think they're better than the Seahawks. Cardinals, I think they're very similar. And, you know, I might take him over the Cardinals, but that's about as far as I'd go.
Where do you put the Atlanta Falcons?
Who,
I mean, where they started, where they are now, where they won 3 out of 4 since Dan Quinn got fired.
Yeah.
And we've always said they've got the talent. Why aren't they better?
I think if I'm power ranking them for betting purposes, they're higher. But if I'm power ranking them best on performance, I'd have them around 18.
Okay. Where do you have the Indianapolis Colts?
The Colts, they've got a lot. That was a good win Thursday night. I would have the Colts maybe a notch ahead of the Dolphins right now.
Colts are, like, they're borderline elite defensively.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're good enough offensively to win the AFC. I still put them behind the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Bills. But I put them right around 10.
Okay. Where do you put the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh. Let's see. Jets, worst. Jaguars. In fact, I'll say the Cowboys worse than the Texans right now.
Okay.
Because of the quarterback situation.
Worse than the football team?
Yeah, I'm going to put them 30th.
Okay. And where do you put the Texans?
I'm going to put the Texans 29th.
Okay. Behind the football team.
Behind the football team and... Yeah, behind the football team, and yeah, that's it.
It's funny, as the Cowboys actually, they gained ground on the NFC East this week by having a bye, so that was smart of them.
Exactly.
Oh. And they have that win over the Giants, so that's in their pocket. The Giants, who look like they're gold now, or here they come.
Somebody asks on Twitch, and I know this is probably something they're feeding you over on 610. Do you think the Texans could sneak into the playoffs with a 7-9 record?
No.
No. 7-9 is not going to get it done in the AFC.
Nope.
And for one thing, I don't see 7 wins on their schedule. I think they've got maybe 2, maybe 3. But I don't see any way they get to 7. And you know, some of the teams we just talked about, the Dolphins are ahead of them. The Raiders are ahead of them. The Browns are ahead of them and just beat them yesterday. And I don't see those teams totally collapse. All those teams collapsing. Steelers aren't going anywhere. Chiefs aren't going anywhere. And I mean that. You know, if you expanded it to 10 teams in the AFC, they'd make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see no chance of that.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule. The Patriots is a winnable game. Patriots are +2.5 in that game, by the way. I don't know. I mean, I think the Texans could cover that. It's possible.
Yeah. The Texans could win that.
At the Lions?
I think the Lions are a better team, like you said, when they're healthy. But, I mean, coin flip. Would you be shocked if they won that? I mean, let's give them every game that we think's a coin flip.
Okay, give them the coin flips then. Sure. They've got the Patriots in a lot. That's 4 wins. Home and home with the Colts. The Colts are way better than them.
Yeah, I think... I think they'll have one game where they play really well like they did against the Titans and lose close, and then one game where they get blown out.
Okay. At the Bears?
That's a loss. I don't even think that's the coin flip.
Bengals home?
That's a win.
It's winnable.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than a coin flip. They'll be favored in that game.
Ooh. I'm interested to see if they are. That's
they will be.
Okay. And home Titans?
Depends on if the Titans have anything to play for.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, being generous, we've got them to 6 without that game. So, yeah, I don't see, and that's giving them both coin flip games. And, I mean, they could easily get blown out by the Patriots and the Lions. So, I think 6 is their ceiling, absolute ceiling.
Yeah. I don't think there's a way. I can't give them 7 games. I can't see it.
No, I can't either.
They suck.
I mean,
like it's dumb for us to even think about. Like,
I wanted to address it because I'm sure there's people trying to say, oh, and even if they get the 7, they're not getting in.
No, they're not.
So,
they're done. They you can stick a fork in them.
Yeah, there's nothing for them to play for except, you know, Deshaun to put up stats.
Yep.
So you could look up at the end of the year and say, wow, look at the numbers he had, and they still won 4 games. Eric says, had a hell of a blitz day. New breaks booked for Wednesday. Signed up for the golf tournament, defending champs, and ate at Carbach for lunch, Korean fried chicken.
There you go.
Nice. Now that's
it is a blitzy day.
Yeah, yeah. And guys, if you haven't signed up for that golf tournament, get signed up. Let me tell you about that right now, if that's okay. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting ProVision. This year's tournament will take place Thursday, December 3rd at 11:30 at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from our official beer provider, St. Arnold Brewing Company, lunch, dinner, and 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and time for one of our favorite guys, the NFL draft analyst for NFL.com, co-host of The Bench, Lance Zierlein. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. And Lance, people were telling us that you were really angry this morning, angry enough to quit over Jack Easterby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of following a team that has this little direction. And, yeah, I mean it. I mean, I'm absolutely tired of a team that has no identity, no direction, and nobody at the top who knows what they're doing. It's frustrating.
Yeah, well, why you quit? I mean, make Jack Easterby quit. Yeah,
because I don't want to have to cover. Look, the Rockets are going to be bad, probably. you know, it's coming up. They had a good run, but it's going to be coming to an end. This Texans thing is going to go on forever. I can't cover a team that's just terrible all the time. Even when they're good, no one cares.
Well, we were talking about this.
Good is a relative term.
If you had the choice, if you're a GM looking for a job, would you rather come here and take over this situation, or would you rather go to Jacksonville or the Jets where it's bleak as hell, but they have two first-round draft picks to get you started in the right direction?
Well, I don't believe the Jet job is going to be open, but, you know, to your point, yeah, the other two jobs. I think the jobs that are – so I had a guy who's going to be interviewing. I know he's got an interview that he's going to have for sure with the team. He thinks he knows the team. He said, Lance, there's four jobs, Atlanta Falcons, they believe Jacksonville, Detroit, Atlanta, and Houston. So I think there's an assumption that he and his agent believe Detroit will be open and Jacksonville will be open. He said of those four, he said honestly, probably Houston is fourth, because if you look at the rosters, the draft capital, the cap situations, he just said, you know, the fact is Houston's probably fourth there. And so that's just straight from the mouth of someone who is going to be considered for some GM jobs this year. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If you don't have draft capital, how do you have a chance to rebuild?
The report yesterday that they may keep Crennel and by proxy Easterby, the whole thing about not being able to interview people and using the COVID as an excuse.
So stupid.
What the hell is that?
That's the dumbest thing I've heard of. You can literally have an entire football season, but you can't sit in an office and do an interview? Oh, come on. Is everyone supposed to be that stupid? See, this is why I went off the rails today. Does anyone actually believe that? You have literally a season during COVID, all these protocols, but we can go to a restaurant, but you can't sit there with somebody 8 feet away from you, 9 feet away from you, have masks if you want to, because of COVID? Come on. It's just absolutely asinine. I can tell you this, other teams are going to do it.
Well, I'm curious because obviously it was Ian Rappaport who has somebody over in that organization. But do you buy that? Even buy the report?
No, I don't buy it at all.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Do you buy the report?
Do I buy what Ian Rappaport was saying? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What it means is that Jack has kind of won the power battle against Jed Hughes, from the guy who is the, the guy who worked for Korn Ferry, who was going to be doing the search. And I think there was a belief that, you know, whatever Jed Hughes said was going to go in terms of who the candidates would be. And now there's, you know, I do wonder if any of this is going to be financially related, because you're paying Brian Dane, you're paying Bill O'Brien. You know, I wonder if this is just a cheap out. One rumor that I heard today from an agent is that Scott Pioli will be the choice, and the rumor making the rounds around the league are that Jack would swing a deal with Pioli to protect him and keep him on board if he pushes for Pioli to be the GM. And so, you know, the thought would be that Pioli would take over as GM. Jack would be, Jack would get a new deal, an extension, and then they'd find a new head coach after Romeo was gone next year. So they would roll with Romeo for 1 year. When I heard that, hey, at least Pioli is, you know, has been a general manager. But I just, this just goes to show you, if this is all true, like, this just can't, the guy who was one of the architects of these moves, along with Bill O'Brien, I really can't believe that ownership is letting this pass. And that's why John and I both came to the conclusion. I mean, there's really nothing that can happen other than you're going to have to see Cal McNair sell the team before you get a different direction. Because it starts at the top down, and if the guy at the top can't see through any of this, then you really don't have a lot of hope, to be honest, unless you just get kind of lucky.
Yeah, I was saying earlier that if Easterby wasn't responsible for the Hopkins trade, then he was the guy driving the car during the murder. And
yeah.
How does that guy keep a job? I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's true, Fred. I mean, he was right there. John and I both know about certain deals that he was in on and the ones that he wasn't. And he was right there in the middle of all this. And supposedly behind the scenes, he's distancing himself from moves, telling people, you know, what he should and shouldn't have done, and maybe he should have pushed harder against. That's the narrative he wants to get out there, that he didn't like these moves, but he didn't push hard enough against Bill O'Brien. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Lamont brought up a good point. The president of the Texans just did an interview with you guys last week, but they can't interview coaching candidates and GM candidates?
What did you say?
Said you guys had the president of the Texans in studio for an interview, so they can't do that with GM and coaching candidates?
Exactly. We can sell books, but we can't get GM candidates.
So, Lance, maybe some impressions from the rest of the league, since there's not really anything else to say about the Texans. Other than, you know, I still want to kick Bill O'Brien every time DeAndre Hopkins makes a catch, even though that cost me a win.
Yeah. Hop is just special. We've always known that, so that's not a surprise. He literally was responsible for that win. That is a win that DeAndre Hopkins is individually responsible for with the game, with a play at the very end of the game. That's just tremendous value when that happens, when you see things like that happen. But up Buffalo, showing what they could do on the road, coming back like that, Josh Allen, I think that's important for future reference, to be able to have an opportunity like that. They lost the game on a fluky play, kind of, but I think that was pretty important. I think the real story right now developing is that, you know, Lamar Jackson is really having a hard time finding his footing, and it appears as though defense coordinators have made adjustments. They found the things that were causing them issues against Buffalo last year, and then, of course, the Titans. They're expounding on that. What you're seeing is a guy who is, you know, he's got to start playing some chess now, because they are counterpunching, because they're now punching at him differently, and he's got to figure out how to counter that, and Greg Roman has to, so... right now, I'd say the Ravens have some trouble right now. They are not the same team that we saw last year. They don't have that same swagger. They don't look as dangerous. Over on, you know, I think from an AFC standpoint, there's not a lot of, I take away, I think the Colts win over the Titans was a really, impressive one, and also cast some doubt on where the Titans stand as a team that it could be dangerous this year. I just think there's a lot of teams. All these teams are starting to have holes punched in them, except for the Chiefs, who they're just slow starters. They just keep flipping a switch, and then the Steelers, who are undefeated, they don't look super dominant, but they haven't been beaten yet. So I mean, those two look like they're clearly the two best. And then you have, you know, what I think are the Bills and Ravens right there, next to each other. But over in the NFC, I think it gets really interesting because Russell Wilson right now, for him to struggle with turnovers like he has over three of the last 4 weeks, but we just haven't seen that like any time in his career. So I think that's something obviously to keep an eye on. And keep an eye on Drew Brees, the way he got hit the other day. I mean, that could cause a shift in power as well in the NFC, because I kind of like them moving forward. There's something about Brady and that offense that I'm just not buying into right now. But those are just some of the thoughts. The Tua versus Justin Herbert matchup, I think that what's really intriguing to see what Miami has done so quickly. Last year at the beginning of the year, they were just a team who everyone said was tanking. They were historically terrible, blah, blah, blah. And by the end of the year, you could see it was a team that had a lot of fight. And then they had additional draft picks. And then this year, they get the Texans first and second. I mean, if Tua plays well moving forward, if he is going to be a good quarterback, I would tell you that, I mean, the Dolphins are going to be they're definitely going to be a factor moving forward as an AFC team to beat. It could happen that fast. That's how fast the turnaround can be if you have first-round picks. And this is how fast a winning team can turn into an embarrassment if they don't have draft picks. Just remember that. If you don't have draft picks, it can go on. And if you have bad drafts, and last year's draft does not look good right now, the year before looked pretty good on paper for a while, and this year it doesn't look nearly as good. Justin Reed went from being a good third-round pick to just being okay right now, and then you don't have a pick until the third round this year. That's how you end up in a giant hole, by not having draft picks. It's one of the reasons why the Rockets are where they are right now.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him every morning on the bench, and he won't be quitting. That's the good news. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. Lance, appreciate all the time,
we're
man.
We're stuck with his contract
the
Texans.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He's got one of those Zach Cunningham contracts. So it'd be too penal for us to cut.
It ends at the end of November. They better get somebody else in here fast. They better. We need a real GM.
Oh, so you're Will Fuller then. That's even better. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Actually, I am closer to Will Fuller.
All right.
The injuries and whatnot. Yeah. But we'll see you guys.
Yeah, that's true. And the COVID. So. All right, Lance Zierlein does a great job here. I hope he's here for a long time. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back. As a locally based company, Gow Media believes in the concept of supporting local businesses' jobs in our community. So we're asking you, our listeners, to hashtag keep it local. When you're shopping, eating out, taking out, or buying services, consider a local business and share your great experiences with hashtag keep it local. Listen for sponsors that support ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and then hashtag keep it local with them. Learn more at ESPN975.com/keepitlocal. Mike and Angel said, just left the Nugget, Fred. You guys should do a show over there somewhere. When they first opened, we were over there a bunch. And then I guess they decided they were doing so well they didn't really need us to come back. But I'd love to get back over there to any of those places. Although, you know, who knows now with this latest spike what we're going to be able to do in that regard. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Where do you come down on birthday cake? It's kind of a, I think it's kind of a must, especially for young people.
Okay.
But what's your thought on them?
I don't know. I guess I haven't given that much thought. I like cake.
Yeah. You like birthdays.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. I'm okay with like the occasional brownies instead of birthday cake or whatever. I'm fine with that stuff.
Yeah, Twinkies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. But if you're getting one for a friend, you want to, you know, make their birthday special, put a little message on it for them, you probably are going to tell the baker what you want, right? And let them put the message on it rather than do it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to one young lady. And the cake came to her friend, and it said, "Happy birthday" on it. Thank you. Apparently, that was this piece of paper she gave to the baker. And I'm guessing maybe English wasn't his first language.
Maybe not.
Because, yeah, happy birthday on it. Thank you. Was the birthday message. So, that probably not what she was going for. I mean, you could have just said happy birthday. Would have covered it.
That probably would have been good.
So, I don't know who to blame here. The baker, who I assume doesn't speak English very well. Or the woman for not just saying happy birthday.
Just happy birthday. It's pretty simple, I think.
Okay, so this is not on the baker. This is on the woman.
I think so.
All right, I think I agree. Aaron?
Yeah, that's on the baker.
On the baker?
I think it's the baker.
Okay. But he always, you know, that's why I'm kind of glad he's here. He always takes that 33% whenever you and I agree on something.
I'm contrarian.
Yeah, you're in the 33%. So there's that. All right. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, we're going to have Eric next. So do I have time to do my, well, non-pedo Rona update?
Sure.
Okay.
Is it positive or?
I'm going to pull some positives out of it.
Only give the positive parts of it.
Well, I try to give everybody honest context, though.
I don't want
though.
To hear about it if it's not good news.
Well,
I just need to know which intro to use.
Use the bleeped out one.
Ugh. Okay, it's different than the bleeped out one.
But. Okay. Well, it's not. All right, I'm going to give you some positive before it's over, okay? This is like me telling you, okay, you're watching a movie and you think the guy's going to die and everything's, you know, and you worry about him, but he's going to be okay at the end. Okay? So your main character is going to be okay at the end. He's not going to die. Even if he does, like Jon Snow, he's going to come back. So I'll start off with the best news. Friday was our lowest day in a while for new cases.
Okay.
Only 387. Unfortunately, Saturday was one of our worst days in a while with 1498. And Sunday we had over 1,000, which is 2 days in a row over 1,000, which is the first time that that's happened in months. So overall trend line, still not even in the ballpark of July and August yet, but we need that to come down a little bit. And so our five key takeaways, the effective reproduction rate, which we want under one, is at 1.11, which is high. Positivity rate, 5.2%, is higher than last week. You know, last week we had 697 new cases a day and, like I said, 1,053 yesterday. 136 new patients in TMC institutions, which is down. There's your positive. Down from 147 a day last week. The ICU phase one is up to 95%, though. So here's the positives. That fewer patients. We did have a really good day on Friday. Not so much the last two. And apparently, there's a second vaccine that looks like it's 94% effective that has also moved forward along with Pfizer.
Okay.
So, how about that? I told you there'd be something. I told you the guy would live at the end. Is that fair?
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd love to sit here and I don't want people scared, but I'm going to be honest. When the numbers are up, that's all we're doing is giving them unfiltered, honest stuff. But yeah, and I think, and again, it's not blowing up like it did before. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think, I'd like to see those numbers come down so we don't wind up with another lockdown, which, you know, if we do, I'll abide, but you guys know my opinion on that. So, all right. Yeah.
Now let's play the song that's number 2 on the American charts.
Okay.
Positive. Non-pedo. Corona update of the day.
I was reading up on these vaccines, and you have to get 2 shots, like 2 weeks apart on both of them, which that doesn't sound like fun because I don't like shots.
No.
But a lot of people who took the first one said the side effect was like having the worst hangover ever the next day. And I'm kind of like, oh, I can deal with that. Bring that on. That's Tuesday. Are you kidding me?
Anthony says, are there numbers out there showing how many people have gotten it more than once? I know that it happens, and from what I've heard, if you get it the second time, usually it's worse than the first time. But I don't know if they're tracking how many people have had repeat.
Yeah, I don't think it's a significant amount, but I don't know. I mean, so.
Do you see Dave Chappelle's going to be playing House of Blues?
No.
You can still get tickets. As long as you've got a group of 4, you can get tickets for $252 a piece still. Playing 3 shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They never give you any, like, notice. It's like,
yeah,
we want you to spend $1,000 on 4 tickets, but we're not going to tell you until the Monday before the show on Thursday.
I think he does that to try to prevent people from running out buying them to resell them.
Okay. I mean, I guess
I think
that makes
sense, because I've heard of, like, him and other big names like that that want to make sure if you're going to be there or if you want those tickets, you're going to be the one in the seats.
Yeah.
Somebody says, so now it's the unfiltered, honest stuff. It was always honest. The problem is traditional media, Chronicle, all they do is scare tactics. So I was just giving you the positive numbers and not trying to scare people. I'm still not trying to scare people. I mean, numbers the last 2 days haven't been good, and that's not, you know, but it's not it hasn't turned into the brutal second wave that everybody's been claiming yet. So, and Flea says, coming, Fred, they're going to lock us down for 6 weeks. I hope that doesn't happen. And I guess, I don't know exactly what happened in El Paso, but I thought they tried to do that where it's really bad there. But then the court said it had to come from the governor. Did anybody see that? I mean, that's what I was told, so I don't know. I'd have to. But I think, if 6 weeks, I mean, look, from a personal perspective, I can handle it. I can do my job from there if I have to. We all can.
Yeah. It's just not ideal.
No, it's not ideal. And I just, and one of the things I kind of got into it was somebody says, oh, you're choosing business over lives. And that's not really the point that I'm trying to make with that. It's that you're destroying a lot of lives. You're destroying a lot of people who've lost their jobs. The mental stress from that, from people who've lost their businesses, it does as much damage as anything. So it's not about choosing business over lives. It's about choosing people over lives. And, you know, I think there's ways to do this, and I also think if they say shut it down, I'll abide. I'll do what they say. I just disagree with it, and I won't say another word about it because, you know, I feel like that's how an argument should work. You know, you argue about it, and then when you lose, when they make that decision, it's okay. You win. I mean, because I can't change it. I can't stop it. So. I mean, I've made my voice known, but it's like we do in management. It's like I always feel like back when I used to have a say over things, that you could disagree with me all you want, but in the end, when I make the final decision, we're on the same team. So if that's what they decide, I will say, okay, cool. and then I'll just go home and order more Harry's razors to come to my house so that I don't have to go out and buy razors, because Harry's is the best. And yeah, you can, you know, if, while you're still out, you can go to the grocery store and get them in a drugstore. But if you want to get online, you want to stay home, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout at harrys.com. And I love them. They've got these new sharper blades, and they're still as low as $2 each. They made their blades better and didn't raise the price. Who does that anymore? And how about this? Everything is backed by a 100% quality guarantee on harrys.com. So if you don't like it, you can get your money back. Harry's is available wherever you shop. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, like me, and if we're locked down again, that's the place to do it. Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
Somewhere in there is a lesson. Y'all ain't evolving, it's very depressing. I'm at the club with the basketball team. Me and the Cardinals are sharing a section. Got a cherish a present.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.